In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Kickoff Sunday is finally here. You can applaud. That's okay. While technically not a liturgical holiday, so religiously is it observed in most churches that it certainly could be. Emmanuel is no exception. Our leaders and staff have been working hard to get ready for this day. We've been preparing new children's classrooms and curriculum, updating bulletins. Full-blown coffee hour is returning, and the choir got up early to practice. Thank you. To start off the program year, we are putting our best foot forward. But apparently, no one told Jesus. Because in our gospel reading for today, our revered leader, champion of compassion and radical hospitality, seems to be showing anything but. To many modern Christians, his dismissal of the Syrophoenician woman and comparing her and her people to dogs is nothing if not unsettling. Now, scholarship will point out how different the context was, how she was transgressing lines of gender, ethnicity, and custom, or how he was fully human. And this is just one instance where it shows. But at the end of the day, we might not be able to explain his first remarks in a way that makes us comfortable. Hopefully we can, however, appreciate his coming around. Not only does he give her what she asks, but he publicly changes his position in a way that was forward-thinking for its time and shows an openness to learn from the most unlikely of teachers. Hopefully we can also appreciate that in a time well before women's rights and when there was significant tension between their people groups, she, a woman and a foreigner, is the one through whom the text reveals God's vision and presents to us a model for our faith. What does she do that we should take note of? Well, she makes a big, unthinkable request of someone she isn't even supposed to be talking to. And she doesn't take no for an answer. She speaks up, she speaks out, she does it again. And it's this fire within her, also known as faith, to which Jesus credits her daughter's healing. We need her example. Because though it's been a week where the news cycle has been predominated by protests and counter-protests, in the day-to-day, many of us still have a hard time speaking up when it comes to issues that we face. It's like something a friend of mine shared with me. Recently, she was in a public place and heard a number of people who were complaining and frustrated about something that had happened. But, she said, rather than talking to the staff or management, it was like everyone just shrugged their shoulders and went on with the day. Whether it's something we see happening in a system, organization, or in an interpersonal matter, I'm guessing reactions like this are not uncommon. For when it comes to being vocal on behalf of ourselves, those we love, or even people we don't know, but for whose plight we're concerned, rather than speaking up, many of us are much more likely to say, "Who am I? Who am I to question, to demand better, to make waves? Who am I to take up that kind of space in the world or assert that sort of power. We find ourselves less like the Syrophoenician woman and more like Moses, who uttered those same words when God asked him to advocate for the Israelites. God knew he could handle it because God chose him. But what Moses saw was his lack of eloquence. Moses wasn't the only one in the Bible to say, "Who am I?" There was David, Samuel, Sarah, when she laughed at the angel's news. But who am I wasn't the question running through the Syrophoenician woman's mind. Or if it was, she got over it. Who was she to make that big ask? She was someone who had a big vision of who God was. One that was bigger than Syrophoenician and Jew. One that was more expansive than the borders of Tyre and Israel. She's someone who understood that her daughter was worthy of being healed as much as others, and that she had a right to be heard. God is bigger than we think. God's bounds are wider than we could ever imagine. And God has made us all worthy. It's not about what we deserve or what social norms dictate as our place. As the reading from James drives home, we're all equal. We should treat ourselves and every person in that way. And to the extent that we don't, we're missing out. We're all worth speaking up for, and so are the people we care about, and the people who can't speak for themselves, but whose voices need to be heard. And we have an advantage, the Holy Spirit, which means advocate. We have God's power and Spirit within us, always there speaking for us and others if we listen, and empowering us for this kind of work. From faith that holds this sort of vision, we can find the courage to speak, to question systems not serving the very people they're meant to assist, to object when things aren't right, to persist, because significant issues usually don't change overnight or with one request. There's the old marketing saying that people need to hear something 7 times before it registers. And that's just to sell a product. It gives us a sense of how many asks are going to be required when we're looking to change the world. And if we feel like we should say or do something, but what we hear in our head is, "Who am I?" We can look to the woman to get a sense of what advocacy, or speaking up, speaking out, and doing it again looks like from ordinary, unlikely people. We need everyday advocates in our world today. People who know it's not just about writing letters and going to Springfield or DC, although those can be good things, but who see advocacy as part of their calling in their roles as grandparents, parents, teachers, workers, and citizens, as people who use the streets and shop in stores, as people who go about daily life, but with their eyes and ears open. To give you an idea of what I mean, there are 2 excellent examples I've seen of this recently. One was from an op-ed in the Register Star, written by an Emmanuel parishioner. It talked about what it means to be a parent advocating for a child with special needs in a system that doesn't always serve them well. It was essentially giving permission and encouragement to other parents and people in similar situations to not feel guilty when making a case for things that one's child needs to get an equitable education, but to press on and know that we owe it to our kids, and this is how things get better. The other example came at the Family Justice Center fundraising breakfast. I attended this last week, along with other parishioners who were representing our congregation. At this event, our mayor and others expressed how important it is that we create better support systems for people who are victims of domestic abuse. Because the person who has been abused should not be the one or the lone one fighting for themselves. I was proud to sit at that table, knowing that we as a church are doing what we can to make sure they're not. Anyone can be an advocate. Sometimes the least likely people are best at it. But today I can say that it's the people sitting here in these pews that I want speaking up. When I think about this church, I see people who have the love of God in their hearts, who share the big, inclusive vision of the Syrophoenician woman, and who know their worth and their neighbors. That's the kind of person that I want getting vocal and making waves in love. Make your requests known. Don't be afraid. Repeat if necessary. Because the kingdom of God is forged by those who ask the question that in pushing back pushes us forward to a better world. Amen.